Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Luke in chapter 2. Gospel of Luke and chapter 2. You know this and I know this. Santa Claus and the reindeer have nothing to do with Christmas. They're cheap imitations of what it is all about as children of God. You understand, Christmas is not about a day. It's about the person, Jesus Christ. And were it not for Jesus Christ, there would be no Christmas. Were there no Christmas, there would be no cross. Were there no cross, there would be no resurrection. Were there no resurrection, there'd be no hope. This world would be in darkness and just kind of sitting and stewing in its own evil and wickedness. As a matter of fact, were Jesus, had he not visited this earth would have destroyed itself maybe 100 times since that period of time. You know, Jesus, in the incarnation, that's what Christmas is about. Stand with me and let me read verse 1 and maybe the first couple of verses of chapter 2. It's a great time of year. Great time of year. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And in this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, the Roman ruler over lesser Judea. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Father, this Christmas story is familiar to most of us. And dear God, I pray that you'd help me to preach it with fire and zeal and the anointing of heaven. Lord, so truths from the Christmas story would ring true in our lives. And God, we would understand as people of God, we have a lot to celebrate. And as people of God, we have a lot to rejoice over. And we have a message that this whole world needs as it gropes in darkness. And God, may we do our best to exalt you this Christmas season. Make us soul winners. Make us fishers of men, women, and children. May we carry the light of the gospel in every situation that we are found in these next several days and use Christmas as a platform for sharing the truth of Jesus. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's holy name. Amen. You may be seated. The big doctrine of Christmas. It's about the incarnation. I know you maybe understand some of that. God took on flesh, as was prophesied again and again and again, hundreds of years before God entered this world by way of a baby, by taking on human form. It is about the incarnation. It is about God the Son taking on a human body so that he would have flesh and blood, so that he could live a sinful life. Here's the deal. Here's what happened. God created a perfect world. And he created man. He created the angels. And he created man in his own image. And he put man in this perfect world. He put him in the garden. And man fellowshipped with God. And they had sweet fellowship together. But all the animals, they had other beings to be with on this earth. And man didn't have any. So God created woman. He created Eve. And the first marriage ceremony took place. And he presented Eve unto Adam. And man, they had a great life. And Adam walked with God in the cool of the evening. Man was designed and created to fellowship with God. But the devil, who had already been cast out of heaven, Lucifer, already cast out of heaven with a third of the angels of heaven, he was roaming this earth. He and some of the fallen angels, the demons, they were roaming this earth and they were jealous of man because man was created in the image of God. And so Adam, and so the devil, Lucifer, who used to be Lucifer, the evil one, Beelzebub, the prince of darkness, he set up Eve. And Eve partook of the forbidden fruit. And she gave it to her husband. And he partook of the forbidden fruit. And man died at that moment. And fellowship was broken with God. And God's heart was broke. And justice had to be done. So man was cast out of the garden. But God already had a plan. And the plan was a Savior would come. And the Savior was none other than the very Son of God. And he taught Adam, God taught Adam how to worship, and blood animal, blood sacrifices were performed, and blood had to be shed, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so Adam, and then Adam's sons after him, and their sons after them, they would worship God, and they would bring a lamb, and they'd place it on the altar, because there was no death before Adam had sinned. And that little lamb dying, that was a horrible sight, but it was a picture of the price that must be paid for our sin. And Jesus, the Lamb of God. By the way, what better place for a lamb to be born than in a stable? Jesus, the Lamb of God, came down to this earth and lived a perfect life. And then he went to the cross and he took our place. He took our place. And he said this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He said, it's this simple. Salvation is provided in my Son, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, as he died and bled out on Calvary, and then he rose again on the third day. I just wanted you to know that what he did for your sin, it was enough. He rose again on the third day, and there is salvation. Look and live. It is really that simple. That simple. And over here, the world is in darkness. I can't help but think, I'm going to read the story here in just a moment. When the angels were singing, and I believe they sang. I know some argue they didn't sing. They were just there in the presence of the singing. Well, there's some words that are used here that if you do a word study, it implies praising God through music. I believe they sang. All right. And when the angels were singing and announcing the birth of the Son of God, I got to believe they're created beings, right? They have emotions like we do, right? I got to believe they kind of looked at one another and said, where are all the men? Where are all the women? Why aren't they celebrating the coming of the Savior? And it was just the angels and the shepherds and a stable and a manger. And that manger enthroned the Son of God. And there was no pretty wrapping paper there. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. But in those swaddling clothes was enough righteousness to cleanse the sin of a man of every sin that has ever been committed on this earth. What a story. What a Christmas story. So really, Christmas is about the incarnation. Everything I preached just now, I didn't plan on saying this morning. It has everything to do with the message, because it is the incarnation. I want to preach on this big doctrine of the incarnation. God visiting this spiritual wasteland of a world 2,000 years ago. He didn't have to. He didn't need to. He chose to. He came and provided salvation. Were it not for Jesus, it's cliche, Jesus is the reason for the season, but were it not for him, we'd all go to hell. It would be an empty, empty, fruitless life without light and without peace, and we would end this torture of life, and we'd go to the devil's hell. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Celebrate the Christmas season. Sing right along with the angels. The Savior has come. It was a miraculous birth. Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Turn back there quickly. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 in your Bibles. 740 years before Mary, before Joseph, the prophet Isaiah said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. We know that means God with us. The birth of Christ is a miraculous birth. He was born of a virgin. It's miraculous. He fulfilled Bible prophecy. 456 messianic prophecies were fulfilled in the birth, in the coming of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that 30% of your Bible is Bible prophecy? 30%. I got this. 8,352 verses of Bible prophecy in your King James Bible. That's a lot. Prophecy is history pre-written. Now, concerning the messianic prophecies, of which there are over 400, just One of those prophecies being fulfilled 700 years later, just one of them, there's one chance in 10 to the 157th power. That's a mighty big number. That's for one. And there are 456. He's the Messiah. He is the very God. He was born in Bethlehem. We were told where he was going to be born, book of Micah. We're told he was going to flee to Egypt, book of Hosea. We're told he's going to be born of a virgin. We're told what his name is going to be, prophet Isaiah. It's an amazing, amazing thing that we celebrate. That is the coming of the Son of God. And God told this earth ahead of time. He told his people through the Old Testament prophets, it's going to be a miraculous birth. Now let's go back to Luke in chapter 2. Luke and chapter 2. He fulfilled prophecy. It was the incarnation, fully God and fully man. I'll give you a little theology here this morning. This isn't new to anybody that's been coming to church here for years, but I want to tell you about it. He never ceased to be God when he was here on this earth. That's a fact. That's what the Bible says. He was 100% God, and yet he was 100% man. Miraculous birth. He was tempted to do wrong, but he never gave in to sin. Never. No sin was found in him. So he's 100% man and 100% God. You say, how did that happen? It's the word kenosis, theological word, and it means that God, Jesus never ceased to be God, but he willingly gave up the exercise, key word, of some of his divine attributes in order to suffer in this world. Because God could not suffer, but in order to suffer, he put on the robe of flesh. He knows what heartache is. He knows what disappointment is. He knows what sickness is. He knows what to be talked evil about. He knows what to be scourged. He knows what that's all about. He did it all, yet without sin. And he climbed up Calvary's mountain, was nailed to an old rugged cross, and shed his blood for the sins of mankind. What a Savior we have. What a Jesus we celebrate. It's not about pretty songs and Christmas carols and pretty lights and festive meals and all that. It's not about that at all. It's about remembering what Jesus did for us. We're celebrating the incarnation. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, the Caesar in Rome, that all the world should be taxed. That's the Roman Empire. The Roman, sitting Roman emperor proclaims this. Everybody was to go to their hometown, the lineage of their birth, to be counted. It was a registration, if you will, so there'd be proper taxation. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius, and he was the Roman ruler over Lesser Judea, when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, that's where he was from, Bible prophecy, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. All Bible prophecy. Bethlehem means house of bread. What better place for the bread of life to be born? Verse 5 says, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. Espoused, it's kind of like engagement, but it's different. It's stronger than that. In Jewish ceremony, if someone was espoused, they were espoused for 1 year. There was nothing intimate going on. They never came together in any way. That was the law. But they were promised. Mary was promised to Joseph, but she was great with child. You can read into all the problems they probably had gone through with that. And so it was accomplished that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. By the way, it came to pass, that's prophecy, and the days were delivered. God's timing is always perfect. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Galatians in chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. You see, these are things that are out of Joseph's control. These are things that were out of Mary's control. Nobody could connive this. God put it all together so all these messianic prophecies would come to pass. 456 of them, so that they would all come to pass. And so they come out of Nazareth, and he's born in Bethlehem, and all these prophecies are going to escape to Egypt. We read that later on. Verse 6 says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. The baby's born. And she brought forth her firstborn son. There were other sons. You know that, right? James, the pastor of Jerusalem, half-brother of Jesus. You understand? But Jesus is the oldest. Mary is a virgin. That which was conceived in her was of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, God the Father. This is God's Son. And he just used Mary as a vessel to bring him into earthly birth. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn, the lodging, the kataluma. That's the Greek word there used. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo. And that word lo speaks of suddenness. It speaks of bang, it happens all at once. Now, these humble shepherds, they're devout men. And they love Jehovah. They have some understanding of Scripture. You read the Christmas story and you understand that. But they're out in the fields, in the hills of Judea. And they're watching their flock. And all of a sudden, the skies burst forth with dazzling light. With, yes, the glory of God. It's really unbelievable. And they're probably wondering if they're dreaming. Verse 8 again says, they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, suddenness, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And I got to believe that is one of the greatest understatements in Scripture. Man, if I were out there in the middle of the night, maybe one or two of them are singing, maybe they're humming. It's wee hours of the morning, and the stars are out on parade, and there maybe some sheep band in the background, and all of a sudden, there's the angel of the Lord in the sky. Just like we sang about this morning, the skies burst open with angels. You know that at every major event in Jesus' life, angels were there in attendance. At his annunciation, his birth, his temptation, in Gethsemane, at his resurrection, and his ascension. And the angels will be there when he comes again to this earth as well. So there they are. All right, let's read a little bit more. Verse 10. And the angel said unto him, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Fear not. 365 times in the Word of God, we find those two words, fear not. There's a lot of fear in the world in which we live today. People are afraid of dying. People are so afraid of dying, they're afraid of living. And they're all cooped up in corners. And I feel bad for them. I really do. The fact is, as children of God, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You do the right thing, you be safe, but then you can't be isolated. You can't live that way. And one thing that we learned through this whole COVID season and the next one that comes and the one after that and the one after that, as I found out, there are a lot of Christians really afraid to die. And we have self-survival built within us. I think that's given to us by God. But don't put yourself on the throne of your heart. Man, how are you going to reach the world? How are you going to rub shoulders with your neighbors? How are you going to tell them? How are you going to assemble? That's what the church is. Called out assembly. Synagogue means assembly. How are you going to do that? How you get together? You cannot shave your head and live in an ivory tower either. It says they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news, good tidings of great joy, Greek word mega joy, which shall be to all people. The gospel is going to be for everybody. And if I kick this in gear, we'll get to Simeon, you'll see about that. Verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The announcement is given to the shepherds. They're out in the hills in Bethlehem. And I'm telling you, this day, the Messiah has come. The Messiah. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, like was prophesied, lying in a manger, like was prophesied. And suddenly there was with the angel of the Lord, a multitude of heavenly hosts. By the way, heavenly host is a military term. This was a mighty army of angels all over the sky. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. Praising God. As a people, we ought to be praising praising God with all of our being. Quit being afraid of life. Don't be afraid of what people are going to think of you. Man, be bold and be that soldier of the cross. I'm telling you, I'm reading into the scripture when I say this, but angels are angels. Created beings with personality, all right? There's personal pronouns used to describe them. They are beings created by God. They just weren't created in the image of God like mankind was. And you know they have thoughts. They have things. Some of them rebelled against God. Remember back in history past, where a third of the angels followed. So they're able to think. And I got to believe, as they are rejoicing because the Savior of man has come to earth as was prophesied. They were just waiting for it. And they're singing and no one's listening. Just the shepherds. And the shepherds look at one another being real afraid and maybe shaking their head after a little bit. And the angels are gone. They said, hey, let's go into Bethlehem and see what this is all about. And let's read on. I'll read 11 again. No, I'll go all the way down to verse 13. Suddenly there was an angel, with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said, and I think there was a stunned silence. I can't think of anything else that would happen. They said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They were the first evangelists. They were evangelists that were pre-John the Baptist. Let's go into the city. Let's go into Bethlehem, the village, and see if there's a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Did we just dream this? Let's run in and see if that's not so. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Everywhere they went. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So everywhere they went, man, they were telling people about Jesus. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. These shepherds, now this is pre-Calvary, this is even pre-John the Baptist, they're evangelists. These are shepherds that had turned into preachers, and they're telling, I'm not saying they left their vocation, but everybody they met, and I can't wait to get to heaven and meet these guys. And you know, when was it you first heard Jesus preach? Were you there as an older man and heard Jesus preach? You know, were you near Calvary? All these stories, they're going to be rehearsed in heaven. I do look forward to that. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to skip a lot of what I have here to say as far as the message. Go to verse 41. Verse 41. I don't know where the time has gone. I'm not to the meat of my message yet. Don't worry. I kind of forgot about my aching tooth there for a little while. Verse 41 says, now his parents went to Jerusalem. You know, I'm miserable with this tooth. I'm going to make you miserable too. That's what it is. You better hope I don't get fleshly. Now the parents went to Jerusalem every year. This is after Jesus. He's already been circumcised. He's already been dedicated. I just want to skip ahead just a little bit. It's about 12 years of age. To celebrate the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among the kinfolk, their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him. You know where he was? He was in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors. Didaskalos is the Greek word there. It means teachers, scholars, wise men. He was sitting, the Sanhedrin sat in a big semicircle, several tiers high, 70 men. They sat in a circle. And the one that was speaking would be down here in the middle looking up at everybody. And he was teaching the Sanhedrin. And they were astonished, the scripture said. Everything he said made perfect sense. These learned men that didn't understand much of the scripture, this 12-year-old boy was teaching them. No surprise, seeing how he is the Word. And he shares with them the truth. And he says to his parents, I must be about my Father's business. I want to look at something else. when Jesus was brought to the temple. Go back, if you would, and look at verse 25. So this is just after he's born. He's about a month old, 30-some days old at this moment. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation, that's the Messiah, of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. So Simeon is a godly man. He is a godly man in Jerusalem. His prayer all his life is, God, you promised the Messiah. Let my eyes see the Messiah before you take me home. God heard his prayer over and over again. Verse 26, the Holy Ghost is upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. One day, God, the Holy Spirit, led him to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God, praised God. The old man's in the temple. The temple's large. He's in the temple. God told him, go to the temple today. He goes to the temple. He's there often. And some parents come in with a month-old child. And God, the Holy Spirit, reveals to him, that's the Messiah. That's the promised one. That's the Lamb of God that all the prophets foretold of. That is the salvation of Israel. Listen to what he does. He picks up Simeon and he raises his eyes towards heaven. Verse 30 says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Verse 28. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And that's what I want to end with this morning. Christmas is about a magnificent Savior. If Jesus had not come, there would be no salvation. Salvation is not found in a list of good works, or salvation is not found in a creed of religion. Salvation is found in a person. It is the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. That's what Messiah means. The promised one that was given to Israel and to the whole world. Simeon sees him come in. He's carried in. Simeon grabs the boy, raises up the boy towards heaven and praises God. He says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Amen. Amen. Let me read that again. Maybe you should say amen. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Amen. That wasn't good enough. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Amen. That's why he came. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken. And then a prophetess comes in. Her name is Anna. We don't know exactly what it said, but she comes in at that moment, verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Hey, the Savior has come. The Messiah has come. The Anointed One has come. And he doesn't come in a little sleigh. And he isn't following little reindeer. The Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God. He was given a body so he could go to a cross and so he could rise again and then ascend on up into heaven. He is our great high priest. He is our Savior. He is our mediator. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Man, that's us, the Gentiles. We in another hemisphere and another time, right at the end of the church age. It's all about Jesus. The Messiah has come.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbcc.org. fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from the Good Book.